Welcome to the ProVest Perspective with Noel Swain, CFP, and host Pamela Lida. Noel is an investment advisor with Cambridge Investment Research and has been interviewed many times on NPR. So sit back, grab a cup of coffee, and get ready for some straightforward, honest talk. Now, here's Noel Swain and host Pamela Lida.
Most financial advisors tend to focus on areas like investing, tax planning, and other money-related topics. While these things really are critically important if you want to save for retirement, one thing that ProVest has found is that achieving the things you care about most requires more than just money. In fact, we believe that there are certain habits and behaviors that can spell the difference between reaching your goals and not reaching them. So today on the ProVest Perspective, we're going to be discussing several of those habits and behaviors. Hello, Noel.
Hello, Pamela. This is a subject sort of close to my heart because so many times somebody comes in, sits down to talk with me, and we just start talking about money. And it's not always just about money. There's so many other things that are important. And talking about those today is going to be a lot of fun, I think. And in my experience, advisors actually rarely talk about things like we're going to be discussing today. And I know I'm not a life coach, but today I'd like to share some non-financial lessons I've learned because I believe applying these lessons makes working towards your financial goals both easier and more rewarding.
But before we get started, I want to let you know a few things about us. ProVest Wealth Advisors is located in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Noel started his company 40 years ago, and he's been a certified financial planner for 30 of those years. The phone number, if you want to make note of it, if you need to reach us for any reason, is 1-800-277-0025. And any of the reports that we talk about today can be found on our website, which is www.theprovestperspective.com. The subject of today's discussion is things other advisors usually don't discuss. The first subject that Noel is going to discuss is burnout.
Yeah, it's very important that we try to avoid burnout if at all possible. But first, let's define what burnout is. Burnout is a physical or mental collapse caused by overwork or stress. Anyone who has ever worked a demanding job or raised children has probably experienced this at some point or another. We're that way, especially if you have more than one kid. So you might be wondering, what does this have to do with my financial goals? Well, in one word, everything. You see, there's a reason we call it working towards your financial goals, because it's a lot of work. Not uncommon for it to take decades to accomplish what you value most. During that time, you may work at the same job for many years, or you may change jobs frequently. You may set aside money for the future only to be forced to use it when times get tough. As a result, there may be occasions where the daily grind just doesn't seem like it's getting us anywhere at all. So in other words, we get burned out. Some common symptoms of burnout include fatigue that just doesn't seem to go away, an inability to complete projects or get started on new ones, apathy about your job or your goals, an increase in addictive behavior like eating unhealthy foods, junk food, things like that, or watching too much TV, or things of this nature, you know, starting to drink more alcohol than you should and things like that. Or maybe even a drop in efficiency or a drop in confidence, and especially a drop in productivity at work. These things can all be the result of what happens when you get burnout.
So now we'll talk with us a few minutes about how avoiding burnout can relate to reaching our financial goals.
Okay, well, Pamela, people who get burned out often start making short-term decisions that delay their long-term goal. Now, let me give you an example or two. Instead of investing for the future, they start spending more on instant gratification. Instead of planning ahead and being proactive, they procrastinate. Instead of making consistent, steady progress toward the things they want most, they get sidetracked by things they just want at the moment. That's why, as a financial advisor, I feel it is important to work with my clients on how to avoid burnout. So I'm going to discuss a few methods that I found very effective. One, take the idea of time management seriously. The subject of time management might seem dry and boring, but in truth, It's an incredibly useful skill that helps you get more out of your day while doing more of what you love to do. And you do that by setting aside specific times and time limits for specific activities every single day. Number two, take smart vacations. Going on vacation is a common remedy for burnout, but some vacations are more therapeutic than others. If you're trying to avoid burnout, don't go somewhere far away or somewhere that you've never been. Instead, revisit somewhere you know you'll enjoy and have little trouble navigating. This is something I do every year. You know, we have a place that my wife and I go to, and actually a lot of family and friends come to a beach down in Florida, down in New Smyrna. And we just love going there for that 2 weeks and enjoying ourselves. We know all the restaurants. We know we can drive on the beach if we want to. You know, there's so many things we can do. And we just love going there. Now, we like going to different places too. But as far as being therapeutic and really getting a good rest, we love going down to New Smyrna Beach. Now, number three, we make physical and mental health your first priority. So you have my permission. Take a power nap if you need it. Work out. That's something that I do. I do it several times a week. I try to have workout. Eat healthy. That's something I need a little bit of help with because I tend sometimes not to eat as healthy as I should. And schedule times to pursue your passions. The more you take care of yourself, the more armored you'll be against burnout. You shouldn't have to wait until retirement to start enjoying life. Burnout is often a result of trying to do too much by yourself. Society might laud the rugged individual or the do-it-yourselfer type, but the truth is you are not alone. So don't hesitate to delegate responsibilities to family members or ask neighbors and coworkers for help with projects. It can make a huge difference in avoiding burnout.
So it's important to watch out for and avoid burnout for your physical state of mind, your health, and your finances. Now, if you would like for Noel to take a look at your retirement goals and make sure that you're on track, we encourage you to give us a call at 800-277-0025. Whether you'd like to talk with them on the phone or schedule a time to come in and talk with them in person, first appointment is complimentary, 800-277-0025. So we just talked about the importance of avoiding burnout and how those who are burned out on preparing for their financial goals without ever taking a break are less likely to continue saving. The next habit or behavior we're going to discuss is the importance of prioritization. Noel, I believe you have a story that illustrates this point perfectly.
Yeah, family, this is one of my favorite stories. This is something that goes back. I've heard this since I was a kid, and I can tell you I'm no longer a kid, so I've known it a long time. But listen to this and see if you identify with anything this guy is doing, because as I've gotten older and I have developed some adult ADD, this seems sometimes to be just me. I'm just like this guy. So there once was a farmer who woke up early to milk his cows. On the way to the barn, he noticed his fence was broken. So he went to his shed to get his tools, only to find out that he was out of nails. On the way to town to buy more nails, the fuel light in his truck came on. As he filled up at the gas station, he noticed a shoe store across the street advertising a special on men's work boots. Since his boots were starting to wear out, he went to buy a pair. He finally made it to the hardware store to buy nails. But once inside, he remembered his tractor needed a tune-up. So he bought the equipment he needed, and he drove back home. Upon arriving, the sound of clucking hens reminded him to collect the eggs. And after finishing that, he turned his attention to his tractor. By the time that he finished doing that, the afternoon was making way for the evening. There's still time to fix the fence, he thought, when he realized he had never actually bought the nails. So back to town he went to get the nails. The stars were out by the time he finally fixed the fence. He got finished fixing it. Exhausted, the farmer went inside and kicked off his boots. Just as he sat down, his wife asked him why they had no fresh milk. Groaning, the farmer rubbed his eyes and wondered why there was never enough time in the day to do what needed doing. See, this is an extreme example, but it illustrates an important point, and that is, too often, Many people start the day or the month or the year or even an entire phase of their life with a goal in mind, only to be distracted and sidetracked. The result is we fail to achieve what we originally set out to do, which is our most cherished dreams.
That's right, Noah. We find we often get distracted with the many things that we need to do in life, which is why prioritization is so very important. So, Noel, how is it that so many times we fail achieving what it is we set out to do?
Well, I think there's two main culprits behind this. First of all, we don't plan ahead. And second of all, we don't set priorities. First, let's talk about planning ahead. In the story that I just told, the farmer probably would have felt a lot better about his day if he had laid out a plan. But instead, he started going around in circles, always making decisions based on what he saw right directly in front of him. Many people do this with their finances, too. For example, maybe you decide it's time to pay off your debt, but then you notice the roof needs to be repaired. So you pay for that instead. Then you get frustrated because your personal computer is old and slow, so you buy a new one. By that time, your money is running low, so you decided just to wait until your tax refund comes. But when the refund comes in, you're burned out from work, so you go on vacation instead. Meanwhile, your debt just continues to grow and grow. When we plan ahead, we can determine what we want to accomplish, what steps will it take to get there, and then when and in what order we execute those steps. If this is done correctly, we can ensure we do more of what we actually want to do. Second, we don't set priorities. This is what many advisors don't usually talk about because this is not usually in the wheelhouse of a good advisor. An advisor is going to show you how to save money on taxes. He's going to help you with your estate planning. He's going to help you with the investments. He's not going to talk about your time management. He's not going to talk about setting priorities. That's just not what we do. So right now, let's talk about that farmer again. Obviously, everything he did needed to be done, but some things were probably more important than others. The fence maybe could have waited. Buying new boots, that probably could have waited a little while too. Or perhaps he could have made a list of everything he could do without going into town, and a list of everything that he buy when he did go into town. Then he should have prioritized which tasks to do first, and in so doing, gotten a lot more done with a lot less effort. Taking time to prioritize our goals, needs, and short-term wants has a similar effect. It ensures that we allocate our time and our money as effectively as possible. For instance, some people may find that investing their money for retirement is a lower priority than starting a rainy day fund. Others, meanwhile, may get the most bang for their buck if they prioritize minimizing their taxes over earning more money. Folks, life is hectic, and it seems like we always have a million and one things to do. But the solution doesn't always require beating our heads against the wall because we're trying to just work harder. Sometimes the solution is to just work smarter by planning and setting the priorities of how we spend our time and our money. And this is something that we can help with because we've got some good software. We don't develop the software, but we do vet it. Now, we've got some very good retirement planning software that can help you set the priorities that you think are necessary to be working on to build up. And then we can follow up with you and make sure that what you're doing is the right thing. That's what a good financial advisor does. That's what he's supposed to do.
The retirement planning tool that's in our Wealth Toolkit is an excellent way to start planning and prioritizing your retirement goals. Now, we've got a report to help with this. It's 5 steps to a written retirement plan if you'd like to get started on this. If you have not, you can get a copy of this report and read more about the Wealth Toolkit. Both, just go to our website, www.theprovestperspective.com. You can check out our report, the 5 steps to a written retirement plan. There's other reports there as well. Be sure and check all of those out. We got the little videos on the Wealth Toolkit if you want to hear more about that, even on our active management style. So again, check out our website, theprovestperspective.com. Now, if you'd like to come in and talk with Noel about your retirement planning, you can call us to get an appointment scheduled to see Noel at 800-277-0025. Just remember that first appointment is complimentary, and you can reach us at 800-277-0025.
So most people have probably heard the phrase, the only bad question is the one left unasked. And when it comes to your finances, there are certainly no bad questions. And Noel Swain, CFP, he feels it's his job to make sure others know the answers to any questions they may have regarding retirement and investing. Questions such as, why is the price of the Dow so much higher than the S&P 500? What are better, stocks or bonds? And what's the difference between actively managed and passively managed funds? So we've put together a report with those questions and answers, as well as several others. It's called Questions You Were Afraid to Ask. Download it today at theprovestperspective.com. Questions You Were Afraid to Ask. Or call us 800-277-0025. 800-277-0025.
Today on The Provost Perspective, we are discussing things that other advisors don't usually discuss. And these are things like the importance of avoiding burnout and the importance of prioritization, as we have already discussed thus far. Now, we at Provost feel that in addition to topics like investing, tax planning, and other money-related topics, prioritization and avoiding burnout are topics that should also be addressed, because these are some of the habits and behaviors that can spell the difference between reaching your goals and not reaching them. And this is both in your life goals as well as your retirement goals. So the full report, Things Other Advisors Don't Usually Discuss, can be found on our website, which is www.theprovestperspective.com. Financial harmony in the home. Noel, can you tell us why it is important for yours and your spouse's goals to be aligned?
Well, you know what? I don't know that I need to tell this audience, because they probably already know, but we're going to discuss it anyway. Have you ever heard this saying, no man is an island? What it means, as you can probably figure out, is that no one is so self-sufficient that they don't or they can't benefit from the help and comfort of others. It also means that no one is so isolated that their actions affect only themselves. The decisions we make, including those related to our financial goals, always, always have an impact on other people. One of the saddest and most common obstacles that people must overcome is a lack of financial harmony in the home. This can happen when two or more persons have, number one, say competing goals or different attitudes about money or an unequal relationship. And the thing that makes all of them worse is a lack of communication. See, according to one study, finances are the leading cause of stress in a relationship and also the leading cause of divorce. You wouldn't think so, but that's what it is. Often, the cause of the stress that happens in a relationship, well, it's not one person's fault. Not usually. Perhaps one spouse lost their job or a partner is up to their neck in medical bills, but sometimes the stress is entirely avoidable. Either way, any of these situations can destroy financial harmony in the home. And when that happens, it makes reaching both individual and family goals so much harder and less pleasant. That's why financial harmony is so important. When you have financial harmony, loved ones work together, each lending their talents and their experiences so that everyone gets to achieve what they want in life.
I can imagine it's pretty tough to achieve financial goals when those goals are conflicting or one spouse is having to do all the work. So Noel, now can you give us some examples of how not having financial harmony can really hurt?
I'm going to invent this hypothetical couple called Bob and Betty. Don't they sound like a hypothetical couple?
Sounds very generic.
Yeah. I will go through each of these scenarios I just described. And so the first one, they have competing goals. Let's say they get into their 50s or 60s and Betty wants to start a business. But Bob, he'd rather travel. How do they allocate the time and money it takes for each to do what they want? Well, that's where our retirement planning tool can help. You can set the priorities. You can set your goals. And each one of these things, whether it's travel or whether it's starting a business, you know what it takes to do either of those things?
Yeah.
It takes money. And so while you're planning how you're going to business, what kind of business you're going to be in, how to start and think, or where you're going to go when you travel, that kind of thing, you're going to need money. And so it's a matter of planning how that money is going to come, because it just doesn't grow on trees. It just doesn't show up. You've got to work for it. So you've got to set those priorities. The second thing, they might have different attitudes about money. See, Bob may be a natural risk taker and prefers to invest in the riskier assets that offer a potentially higher reward so that they have more money to do all the things that they want to do in life. Whereas Betty is more conservative and wants to ensure that they never lose their hard-earned savings so their family will always be protected. Neither approach is necessarily wrong, but how do they create a balance so both can sleep well at night? Well, think about this. In our wealth toolkit, we have a risk tool. You can actually go on our website, the ProVest Perspective website, and scroll down until you get to the big red button on it called risk. You click that button and you enter some information, give them some of your thoughts about it, and they will tell you what your risk number is from 1 to 99, where 1 is no risk at all and 99 is sort of betting it all on red in Vegas, you know, that type of thing. It's very accurate in that way. And the husband can take it, and then his wife can take it, and they can see where they stand. I can tell you this. I've done it with a lot of couples, and there have been times when the husband thought the wife was much more risky than he was, you know, would take more risks than he would. And it turned out to be just the opposite. She was much more conservative. And so that can be a big thing. So I would encourage you just to go on our website and do that. And then what you can do is, let's just say the husband is more of a risk taker and the wife is more of a conservative person. They can formulate their portfolios so that the husband has a portfolio he wants, and the wife has her portfolio in what she wants to do. These are all good things that they can do. Now, third, what if they have an unequal relationship? Oftentimes, this is the main culprit behind that financial disharmony. The classic example here is when one person in a relationship, say Bob, handles the finances, and the other one, Betty, doesn't have anything to do with it. This could mean, for example, that one decides where every dollar goes while the other has no input. Or it could mean that one pays all the bills and balances the check while the other one spends impulsively. How do Bob and Betty leverage both their skill sets while balancing the workload and ensuring both have an equal voice? Well, this is something that I have seen over many, many years. In fact, I've had widows or widowers come in and say that their spouse handled the money and they have no idea what they have. They have no idea how much it costs them to live. They've never handled it. And all of a sudden, they come see me and say, help me, what can I do? And so this is where we get into budgeting and things like that. And the fourth thing, and this is the main thing, they don't talk about it. They don't communicate. And it usually worsens the competing goals or the attitudes about money or the unequal relationship. Let's say Bob and Betty have competing goals as in the first scenario, and then they don't talk about it. This means there's no planning and there's no prioritization, just competition for limited time and limited resources. Now, on the second one, let's say Bob and Betty have different attitudes about money, like I talked about, and then they don't mention it. They don't have any discussions about it. This means that each one's habits stress the other one out. Bob wants to invest a little bit more aggressively. Betty wants to be more conservative. His habits really stress her out. Her habits really stress him out. And then them not talking about it, it makes it even worse. Let's say Bob and Betty have an unequal relationship, as in the third scenario, and then they don't talk about it. This means one of them will always feel overworked, underappreciated, and unheard, maybe even unloved. So have a discussion with your spouse about your goals, about your feelings, and about your opinions about money. When you're both reading from the same sheet of music, The results can be absolutely glorious, and it can be wonderful music instead of that strident cacophony of shrill sounds that we get when we're just not on the same page.
Now, if you would like to talk with Noel about either our risk analysis tool or our retirement planning tool, we encourage you to give us a call. We can schedule a time for you to come in and talk with him in person or even over the phone. The phone number to reach us is 800-277-0025. We can use the risk tool to make sure you are both in financial harmony with your risk goals. Now, another thing to notate, we've got reports. We've got the one we're discussing today, things other advisors usually don't discuss. Another one I've mentioned, 5 steps to a written retirement plan. And both can be guides to help you overcome the obstacles to good financial planning. And to download your free copy, just visit us at theprovestperspective.com. You can also read more about the tools I just discussed, the risk analysis tool and the retirement planning tool. They're in our wealth toolkit, and you can visit that same website and watch a little video on it, read more about it at theprovestperspective.com. Today on the Provest Perspective, we've been discussing certain habits and behaviors that, while not directly related to finance, can spell the difference between reaching your goals and not reaching them. And people rarely hear about these things from their financial advisors, which is unfortunate, because applying these lessons make working toward your goals both easier and more rewarding. And these are things like the importance of avoiding burnout, the importance of prioritization, and the importance of having financial harmony in the home. Now we're going to take a few minutes to talk about driving and car shopping.
Yeah. Imagine, folks, you're driving on one of those remote, dusty highways where it seems like there are more buzzards than other cars. It's been hours since the last town of any size. You've passed almost no cars coming the other way. And that's concerning because according to your carefully laid plans, you should have reached your destination by now. But there's no internet. And you swear the GPS on your telephone is down. You check your roadmap. Does anybody look at roadmaps anymore? Anyway, you check your roadmap, but you have a sneaking suspicion you took a wrong turn about 60 miles back. Meanwhile, the other people in the car are asking questions like, are you sure this is the way? Especially when it's your wife doing it. Mine questions me all the time. Then you see a small town up ahead. The sign says, welcome to Backwater, population 76. Now you have a choice. Do you keep going, trusting in your own navigational skills, or do you stop and ask for directions? Okay, here's another scenario. You're shopping for a new car at the local Toyo, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Volkswagen.
Just have a little bit of everything.
Yeah. They sell everything. As soon as you hit the lot, a salesman comes out and says, I know just what you need. And then he steers you by the shoulders to a car. He says, this model has been specifically built for your exact gender, age, family situation, political party, religion, and favorite breakfast cereal. You could spend months looking at other options and not find anything that would top this. So here's a pen. Why don't you just sign? Let me ask you something. Would you ask a few questions about that car?
I would sure hope so.
I mean, I think I would ask a couple of questions about that car. And I just bought one a couple of weeks ago. And I did ask a few questions about that car. So, yeah, I think that's something you would ask a question about.
I would hope that you'd ask the questions. Well, these may certainly seem like rather extreme examples of whether or not to ask questions, Noel, but how does this relate to helping people reach their financial goals?
Well, the lesson learned here is the importance of asking questions. In my experience, many people fall into one of two potholes. That's the do-it-yourselfer or the overly credulous. First, let's talk about the do-it-yourselfer. Most of the time, independence and self-reliance are great virtues. But it can be easy to take it too far. Refusing to ask for directions can be especially damaging when applied to your finances. Are you listening, men? And I'm a guy. I'm a man. I go down the road. My wife says, there's a guy over there. Why don't you stop asking him if we're going in the right direction? I know which way I'm going. Yeah, I'm a guy. I do that. So this happens to us. But it's okay to ask for directions. Ask if you're doing the right thing. The fact of the matter is, no one knows everything there is to know about finance. So unless you want to devote thousands of hours to your life to monitoring your investments, researching the tax code, familiarizing yourself with the ins and outs of estate law, or constructing a painstakingly thorough plan for reaching your goals, then doing everything yourself really isn't, or at least it shouldn't be an option. There are so many options to choose, so many potential roadblocks to avoid, and even possible shortcuts that you could use, that it makes a lot more sense to just stop and ask for those directions. We all have different experiences, which means we all have different areas of expertise. Those who take advantage of this fact are often the ones who go further, and they go faster. Sometimes this means consulting with professionals like tax planners, estate planners, and investment advisors. On the second pothole that people fall into is the overly credulous. While thinking you know everything is dangerous, it's equally dangerous to believe everything you hear without question. When it comes to reaching your goals, there is never a one-size-fits-all approach. There is no philosophy, strategy, or school of thought that works for every single person. And just as everyone has their own skills, everyone also has their own biases and their own blind spots. So what does this mean? It means that when someone gives you advice, whether they're a professional or not, take the time to ask questions. And ask questions like, how did you come up with this idea? What makes you think this is right for me? Why this one and not that one? Are there any alternatives that I should consider? What happens if this doesn't work? Can you take it back? What if this thing goes bad? You know, what's the guarantee on it? What are your downsides? What are the risks that I'm taking? See, we've got the Wealth Toolkit, and that is such a wonderful tool that we use. But the other thing that I have, and something not too many other people have, that's in the financial advice business, that's 40 years of experience. 40 years of working with people on a day-in and day-out basis, listening to so many different things that they don't know that I do, because I've seen it so many times. That's something that if you want to tap into, I am here. Telephone number, 800-277-0025. 800-277-0025. Being careful now is not the same as being cynical. Just as you would never buy the first car a salesman tries to push on you without doing a little digging, never blindly accept financial advice without asking some questions. There's an old proverb that says, he who asks a question is ignorant for a minute. He who does not remains ignorant forever.
Today, we've discussed the topic of things other financial advisors don't usually discuss. And we've discussed things such as the importance of avoiding burnout, the importance of prioritization, the importance of financial harmony in the house, and the importance of asking questions. We've got the details on each one of these issues, as well as how you can use this as a guide to help you achieve your financial goals. This free report, Things Other Advisors Don't Usually Discuss, can be found and downloaded for free at www.theprovestperspective.com. And while you're there, check out our videos on our active management style and our wealth toolkit, as well as the many reports we've got. We've got the 1-on-14 interview questions to ask any advisor. If you are interviewing an advisor and you need to ask questions, we've got some questions there for you. 5 steps to a written retirement plan if you need to get started on your retirement planning. All of this can be found at theprovestperspective.com. And if you want to talk with Noah further, whether it's to set up the time to talk with him on the phone to ask a few questions, or perhaps you'd like to set up a free complimentary first-time appointment, you can reach us at 800-277-0025. One more time, that phone number is 800-277-0025. We hope you've enjoyed today's edition of The Provost Perspective, where we hope to always give you valuable information that you can use in life. Next week's discussion is the importance of time management. This is also one of those topics that other advisors don't usually discuss, but it's very important. And it's so important that we're actually dedicating an entire show just to that topic. So be sure and tune again next week to the ProVest Perspective. But until then, don't just invest.
ProVest.
And thanks for listening to the ProVest Perspective podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. For more information on Noel Swain CFP or this episode, visit theprovestperspective.com.
These are the opinions of Noel Swain CFP and not necessarily those of Cambridge, and are for informational purposes only. Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. ProVest Wealth Advisors and Cambridge are not affiliated. Indices mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Investing involves risk. Depending on the type of investments, there may be varying degrees of risk. Investors should be prepared to bear loss, including total loss of principal.